7:15 Central Time. We're at 66 degrees in beautiful clear skies. A great start to your Friday morning around the Weiss Lake area. And this week we've enjoyed having supervisors with the Cherokee County school system in. And on Wednesday, we had Mr. Dwayne Pierce with us, the curriculum supervisor for the Board of Education. And we didn't get through. We had so much to talk about, we didn't get through. So we asked him if he would mind coming back in this morning to help us finish up with where we were going and what we were talking about, because this information is so vital. Mr. Pierce, welcome back in. Thank you for coming back and taking time to share this information.
Well, thank you, Mr. Becker, for letting me come back again this week.
It's our pleasure. And we were in the assessment process. We did mention assessment and talk about that a little bit.
Correct. Well, as I mentioned on Wednesday morning, because of the transition that we're experiencing going to national standards, the assessments, the high stakes tests that we're going to be given in the future now, we can't really base those on our state objectives because they're not aligned with national standards. So the State Department has also transitioned into a new assessment model as well, beginning actually in third grade. And it goes from third grade all the way through our seniors.
And with that being said, with them, what do they hope to garner from the third grade testing? Will they be looking at where we are, what they've learned thus far, and where they need to go, or adjustments any made? Is that what we're looking at?
Correct, yeah. Well, the name of the game right now is college and career readiness.
Right.
And the assessment model that we'll be putting in place, that will hopefully will be fully in place in the next 2 years after we get all our standards implemented, we'll be able to go back as early as third grade and begin tracking our kids from a readiness standpoint. And that's what we want to do, as early as we can get a grip on where they are with the standards, the better off we're going to be in watching them grow as they go through their school years.
An assessment in any new program is essential because you've got to know if it's being beneficial, if it's getting you to where your target is. Am I correct?
Exactly right. Well, it lets the kids, it's vital for the kids and their learning, but it's also very, very important for our administrators and for our teachers and knowing if what they're doing is working. So, yes, we have to evaluate and assess every step of the way. That's correct.
Well, will this assessment or testing be different from what, when I was, and that's been eons ago when I was in school, but I can remember we had those national standardized tests, bring that number two pencil to class, right?
That's right.
You know, is this similar or is it totally altogether different?
It is similar, and for some of them, you still have to bring your number two pencil for some of them still, but we're transitioning now because of the way technology is evolving. I know Dr. Myrick spoke on this yesterday a little bit with all the changes that we're going to be experiencing in technology in the coming years. But we're transitioning now into a lot of our high-stakes tests are going to be given online.
Sure.
Because that's just the direction that's the direction that everyone's moving in.
And don't have to worry about breaking the lead out of those number two pencils.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. The computer may shut down on you, but the pencil won't break.
That's right.
That's right. So to begin a little bit, to start a little bit this morning about where we're going to be beginning with our assessment model is this. In grades K through 2, we will give what we call formative assessments in those grades, and we've been given those for years and years and years now. And those assessments are called STAR reading and math. Our parents are familiar with that. Our students are familiar with that as well. STAR early literacy, the DIBELS test that people are familiar with, that we'll still be given that in one of our schools. And that's for K through 2. The STAR assessments are from a company called Renaissance Learning. They're not ACT products. So K through 2 are the only grades that we're not really going to be using an ACT product in. Starting in third grade, grades 3 through 8, as I mentioned yesterday, we'll be replacing the ARNT test with what we call ACT Aspire. And it will be assessing skills in reading and math. And we will begin that test. It's a spring test. It will begin on May 5th. For all moms and dads out there that need to know that date, that test will begin on May the 5th. From the ACT Aspire in eighth grade, we will give the ACT Explore, and it assesses the content areas of English, reading, math, and science. Now, what you're going to hear through our conversation this morning is the Explore and the Plan and the ACT all assess the same skills, and that's by design, because we want to, one of the results of one of these tests will project the performance on the next one. So we need to be assessing the same content areas on each one. And each one we can get an indication of the readiness of the student from what they scored on that test. So the Explore, again, is an eighth grade test. The scoring range on the Explore is 1 to 25. The best you can score on the Explore test in the eighth grade is 25. In the 10th grade, that's our plan test. It's an ACT assessment, the ACT plan. And it also assesses reading, math, science, and English. It's going to be given on the same day as the Explore, October 22nd. The plan is sort of our midpoint measure for readiness, for college readiness for our students. The scoring range for it is 1 to 32. The best you can score on the plan is a 32. So that's a 10th grade assessment. And then the 11th grade. And this is a huge change in our state, because we've given the 8th grade Explore and the 10th grade plan for a few years now. But another big shift coming next year all across the state is that every junior in the state of Alabama next year will be required to take the ACT, the ACT assessment. And again, English, reading, math, and science. It'll be a spring test. It'll be given on April the 23rd next year. There'll be a makeup day on May the 7th for those that weren't there that might have been absent on the 23rd. And of course, the scoring range is 1 to 36. The best you can score on the ACT is a 36. And it's the same ACT that kids will go and take on a Saturday on the national test. Colleges and universities will accept it the same way they always have accepted any ACT assessment, any ACT test. It's good for college eligibility for athletics. It's the same test.
Okay. Now, with them, if they take it in school and they score a 29, for example, and then they go and take it on a Saturday, if they already prepared, they know a little bit more about it, a little bit more experience, and they bring it up to a 33, then they'll use that last score for college readiness and college entry.
That is correct, yes. Okay. Now, some universities, the way they accept the ACT results, some of them do what they call stacking the scores. And some will just take the last score that you took, and some will just take the high score, no matter when you took the test. So, but yes, that's kind of different from university to university level. So it's whatever their requirements are for their admissions for the universities is how they handle that.
We talk about ACT and college readiness and all. Do the ACT scores apply, or can they be used for entry level jobs or? Going to technical schools and things like that. Does that indicate anything for those students?
At those levels, they likely look at those results. They do. They want to get a good indication of what they're getting.
And sure.
Which to me is common sense, I guess, because you want to know what you're going to be working with when you receive the students. And this is why this assessment model, once it's fully implemented, is going to be, we believe, is going to be very, very good, because we can now begin tracking readiness in a process, in a progression, going back to eighth grade with the Explore, but eventually, once Aspire is put in and implemented and up and running fully, we can actually go back to the third grade, actually, and start looking at how our kids are performing as a readiness indicator. So
10 years from now, you go back and be able to pull all those scores and track individual students from third grade all the way through, right?
That's right. That's right. We hope so. That's the goal. That's what we want to do. The Aspire is still so brand new. There's not a lot known about it right now, about what the cut scores are going to be, or we've not given the test yet, so we're not very familiar with the Aspire test yet, but we're going to get familiar with it this coming year, because we're going to be administering it in the spring. So we hope that it just falls right in place at the beginning of our assessment progression. Now, here's the thing about kind of why we're going to all these ACT assessments. As I mentioned yesterday, Dr. Bias, when he did his homework and he did his research on the issues that we have with our graduates graduating high school by passing the graduation exam but not scoring high enough on the ACT in some of those areas to get into college entry level work, the gap was so large between the two performance levels of the students that something had to be done. Well, for example, every one of these, all of these assessments, since they're ACT products, they all have what we call benchmarks cut scores. And they're minimum scores for what is indicative of a readiness target. And each benchmark score builds on the next one. In other words, the plan test given in the 10th grade will build on the scores that were given on the Explorer in the 8th grade. So you can look at your 8th grade score, and whatever you scored on the 8th grade Explorer test, you can kind of say, well, you're here, so that projects you of scoring this on the plan test. And when you get to the plan test, you score what you score on it, and you can say, well, this projects what you will score on the ACT. But we're looking for cut scores. We're looking for this kids to score at the benchmark level, because if we can score benchmark, which is just a minimum score to get into college, that's a readiness indicator, and that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do.
And where we're headed, and if I understand what you've told me about the state superintendent, he's trying his best to improve the educational system to where it should have been already, and there's been some failures in our system. And you correct me if I'm wrong when I say this, and I don't mean this negatively, don't get me wrong, just an observation, in the fact that in the past we may have lowered our standards or didn't keep our expectations high so we wouldn't leave anybody out, but now this is going to be able to assist everyone across the board and raise our standard, challenge our best, and then also help improve scores for everyone across the entire spectrum. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right. Yeah, and when you're looking at numbers of what's happened in our state, even last year, the 2012 ACT information that's been put out and released, it indicates that only 18% of our students statewide. Only 18% of our students that took the ACT scored benchmark on all four parts of the ACT. 18% statewide.
Very low.
And that information is out there for anybody to go and see on the ACT website. You can find it there. 12%, only 12% of the kids who took the ACT scored three benchmarks on three different parts of the test. 19% scored two benchmarks, 19% scored one, and here's the glaring number. 31% of the kids in 2012 who took the ACT scored zero benchmarks, which means they didn't score benchmark on any part of the ACT.
Didn't make the minimum requirement.
Minimum requirement. They did not. But scoring benchmark, here's what scoring benchmark will do for you on the ACT. If you score benchmark, let's say on the English component, benchmark on the English component is 18. That is the cut score for English. Which means if you score an 18 on the ACT in English, then you're ready for an entry-level English composition course. Then you should be able to handle that. But scoring 18 on that will give you a 50-50 chance of scoring a B or higher on that college entry-level course.
And should not have to have any remedial courses to start with.
Without having to take a remedial course. And it'll give you, according to ACT's research, it'll give you a 75% chance of scoring a C or higher on that college entry level course. And every component, every part of the ACT has that benchmark. It's 18 for English. The cut score for math is 22. For reading, it's 21. And for science, it's 24. So that's what we're shooting for, is at a minimum for college readiness, we're trying to get our kids to those benchmark levels so that they can diminish the probability of having to take remedial courses upon going to college.
And we keep talking about, of course, college, and that's important. But so many of our children aren't going to college, but this program is going to enhance the educational system for all of them, if I understand it correctly.
Right, and we talked about that a good bit right. Yesterday, that college and career readiness is a two-part piece. It's not about just kids who are going to college.
Right.
There's readiness standards that will be implemented and in place to to help those kids who are just going to go into the workforce right out of high school. So,
all right. This is a good place to stop. Let's take just a short break. We'll be back with Mr. Dwayne Pierce, Curriculum Supervisor for the Cherokee County Board of Education. We'll be back with Mr. Pierce right after this.
Voice Country Weather.
From the Weiss Weather Center, good Friday morning. Mostly sunny for today with a high in the upper 80s. A beautiful day and a beautiful start to your day. We're at 68 after a morning low of 63. Light winds this morning, northerly at 5 in the afternoon. Clear skies for tonight with patchy fog developing after midnight. Low in the mid-60s on Saturday, partly cloudy, 20% chance of afternoon thundershowers, and a high in the low 90s. West winds around 5. That's your latest weather update, a service of your hometown Piggly Wiggly.
Yes.
Back in the studio with Mr. Dwayne Pierce, Curriculum Supervisor for the Cherokee County Board of Education. Mr. Pierce, again, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Beck, for having me in this morning.
And we were talking about assessments and where we go and how these assessments play a vital part in our educational system and in the lives of the children as we and their parents as we go through the educational process.
True. That's right. One of the things that I'd like to mention, I mentioned yesterday that we're phasing out, the State Department is phasing out the Alabama High School graduation exam. It is no more.
Is that a relief for a lot of students, our parents?
I think so. I think so. It sounds like it would be. What we're replacing, what the State Department has decided to replace the Alabama High School graduation exam with are what we call end of course assessments. And last year we implemented three of these, Algebra 1, Geometry, English 9, and English 10. The difference between the graduation exam and these end of course assessments is that the students, as it is right now, the students had to pass the graduation exam to achieve and obtain their diploma. As it is right now, currently, now this may change between now and 3 months from now, but as it is right now, the end of course assessments are being normed, their scores are being normed right now. So the students who are taking the end of course assessments, they don't have to achieve a set score in order to graduate. Now the scores will count. Of course, they're going to have meaning for us make decisions on instruction, how we're teaching, are we covering the standards the way that we're supposed to. So they're going to have a lot of value to them, but the tie of having to pass a graduation exam is no longer the case. But when I say that the graduation exam is going away, that we still have students that are in our schools who still need to pass that test to get their diploma, because the graduation exam is not going away for everyone until the requirement is gone. And to be eligible to still continue to have to take that test, if you were a first-time ninth grader in the year 2010 or 11 or earlier, then you still fall under the old graduation exam and you still have to pass that graduation exam.
So if they, ninth graders, 2010 or 11, if they were freshmen then they still got to take it. They're not going to be grandfathered.
No, sir. If they were a first-time ninth grader, in 2010 or 11 or before, then yes, sir. They still fall under the graduation exam, and they still have to pass that test. And we're mainly talking about if we have kids who are going to be in this coming up year's senior class,
right?
But we still have those who may have graduated before that, who got out of school before that, who want to come back and may have not passed a part of it, and want to come back and just complete that test. So we're primarily talking about this year's seniors, but not entirely.
Okay. Now, in the future years, though, that'll be gone away.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the State Department has not been, they have not just come out and said, we're going to end it this year or end it next year, because they want to give these kids every opportunity that they can to pass that part that they haven't passed yet. They won't give them every chance to earn that regular diploma. So they have not come out and just put a hard date on it yet of when they're going to cut it off and say it is no more for anybody. They haven't said that yet.
But even though they're not going to be, after this year, not going to be required to take that graduation exam, the exit exam, as it's been called, to, in order to receive their diploma. Still got to make passing grades.
They absolutely do. They still got to earn their credits.
Yeah, still sure got to do that. I mean, that part's not changing. That's what it's been all along.
You're right. They still got to earn their credits. And because of the rigor of the standards, they're going to be a little bit more difficult to come by because the thinking level is going to be different. It's going to be much deeper than it's ever been before. So, they still got to get their credits to graduate.
Well, that sounds like the changes that are coming. I'm excited about them. And, of course, a lot of students out there say, yeah, but you're not in school. It'd be easy for you to be, excited about them. But what I'm excited about is that it appears on the surface from what you've told me that we're going to see an improvement in our educational system with higher standards coming and with our students, every one of them.
All across the board.
All across the board graduating better prepared for life. Not only wherever they're going for education or continuing education or right into the workforce or whatever their situation is, it sounds to me like they're going to be better prepared for life in general.
We hope so. And Dr. Bias, again, wants that. He wants that readiness to take place in high school and not after that. They need to be using these skills that they get in high school for college and career. He wants that preparedness to take place while they're in high school.
Well, you correct me if I'm wrong, if my thinking is wrong, but if they're better prepared for life in general, wherever they're going, whatever they're doing, won't that enhance their livelihood in future years?
I would believe so. I would think so. I would think that it would open up more doors for opportunities for them if they can get out of high school and either go into college and be more successful or go into a work site and with skills to be able to do things at that work site that maybe before they weren't prepared to do. So I would hope that in years to come when this is fully implemented and we get through it that more doors are open for them.
And
earlier, at an earlier time than they've ever been before.
They'll be ready to step up and meet the challenges that are out there.
Right.
Because, those challenges sometimes mean greater opportunities.
Right, and they're there. The challenges aren't going away.
That's right. Well, it's exciting for me to hear that, and I hope that it is not only for the students out there to know that they're going to be better equipped, have better tools to work with. And with Dr. Myrick talking about the electronics and the devices and all, that's better tools to work with. But overall, at the end of the day, when they go to graduate, they're going to be better equipped mentally, physically, or mentally anyway, to adapt and be challenged to the lives ahead.
We hope so. We do hope so. I mentioned about the end of course assessments that we gave for last year. The initial intention of the State Department was to do those four end-of-course assessments last year, the Algebra 1, Geometry, English 10, and English 9. The original plan was to add five more end-of-course assessments this year. That's as it is today. That is not the case, that the only end-of-course assessments that we will administer this coming year will be in Algebra 1 and English 10. We were going to actually originally give nine end-of-course assessments this year, but that's no longer the case. We're only going to be giving the Algebra 1 and English 10 this year at the end of those courses. And beyond that, year 13, 14, 14, 15, and beyond, we know the Algebra 1 and the English 10 is going to be there. But right now, the State Department, we don't know if they're going to begin adding those courses back in. It's all tied to funding, like everything.
Absolutely. It'll depend on our funds that we get, more funds, more things, more opportunities we have.
That's right. And I got an email yesterday. Again, the original plan when we're in the ACT administration this coming spring was for the ACT to be administered with an additional writing component that comes with it. Well, I got an email 2 weeks ago that took the writing part off because of funding. The State Department didn't have enough funds to add that writing component in there, so they sort of put it on hold and kind of did away with it. Well, I got an email yesterday, and now they've added it back in again. So apparently they found some money somewhere, because as of yesterday, the ACT this year will be given with the writing component as well.
on the writing component? Will that be the student's ability to compose or how well their penmanship is, or a combination of all of it?
It'll be a little bit of everything. So which means that we've got to go back now and we got to make sure that we're emphasizing the writing process earlier. We don't want them to get to the ACT as a junior and that be their first experience with that type of writing.
I know with my grandchildren, I speak to them about their penmanship, their writing skills, and not so much as their comprehension, but their writing skills. And they remind me that we're in a digital world, and with typing, they don't have to be able to write so well, you know. And but I still think it's a good skill to have. To from an employer standpoint, mm-hmm. I want my employees to be able to, when they give me a note or give me some information, then I want to be able to read it.
Right. You know. Exactly right. Yeah.
So penmanship skills are essential as far as the employment and the employer is concerned.
Right.
And I'm sure that those penmanship skills are still being pushed by the teachers at all levels.
Well, we hope so. It'll almost have to be now. If that's what we're looking at as when all of our kids get to be 11th graders and they're going to be assessed on that, then we need to prepare them for it.
Oh, sure. All right. Anything that we've left out that we have we covered everything?
I believe we have. Everything that I'm aware of, anyway.
One thing that we haven't mentioned, and there's some children out there and parents that are saying, you haven't mentioned our special needs children,
right.
particularly, mm-hmm. but they're inclusive in everything we've talked about. Am I correct?
They are. We have what we call extended standards that apply to our special needs children, and they're being, just like all of our courses of study, are being rewritten. The math course of study had to be rewritten to align with the national standards. The science course of study had to be rewritten to align with all of them. Are going to have to be rewritten and revised to align to national standards. And our extended standards for our special needs students, they're being rewritten and revised as well to better align with the national standards at the same time. So yeah, they are absolutely included, and because we want their preparedness to be, we want that to be there too.
Absolutely. Don't want to leave anyone out. And their IEPs will continue for their individual educational needs will
exactly.
be there.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Wonderful. I just wanted to mention that because we haven't specifically said anything about it.
Right.
And we didn't want any parents to say, why didn't you bring this up or mention
right.
this? You know,
oh, yeah.
you didn't mention that. But we want to let them know that's inclusive in everything.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal. Thank you so very much, Mr. Pierce, for taking your time and coming in and sharing. I know we've burdened you with 2 days instead of one, but we appreciate that opportunity to have you back in and to cover everything that needed to be discussed.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. I want to add one other note here. I went back and listened to my interview that I did on Wednesday morning for two reasons, to make sure that the information that I shared that morning was accurate and that I didn't leave anything out that could be left up to a misinterpretation. And in talking about the one diploma option, I mentioned Wednesday morning that the State Department is only going to recognize that one diploma. And that is still true. That's true. It is true. But that one diploma option does not become effective until this year's freshman class, the freshman class of 13-14. It won't be true for our 10th, 11th, and 12th graders because they're already into their track. They're already into the diploma that they signed up for.
Right.
When they got into high school, they signed up for their diploma then. So I don't want our moms and dads out there to think, oh my goodness, my child has been in high school for 3 years and he's been on this diploma track for 3 years and all of a sudden now they're not going to recognize that diploma. But that's not the case. This one diploma option will become effective with the freshman class of 2013-14. With their four-year plan, and then we'll move forward with that.
Similar to that standard one diploma, I'm simple-minded, so I reckon it's sort of similar to our driver's license. You know, one driver's license, but we have different endorsements on it. If I need my glasses, that has an endorsement on it. My boating license has an endorsement on it. Mm-hmm. So the Water Patrol or the State Patrol, if anyone needs to see my license for any reasons, they can see the endorsements that I have on there. Similar situation.
Good analogy. Very good.
That's all right. Right. Well, thank you so very much once again. And again, as I mentioned, I think we did on Wednesday, that in the months ahead, 6 months down the road, 3 months down the road, if we need to come back in, talk about how we're making it with this new learning curve for everyone and the new standards. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Be glad to, Mr. Baker. Thank you for having us in this week.
Thank you, Mr. Dwayne Pierce, Curriculum Supervisor for the Cherokee County Board of Education, taking time to be with us this morning to cover the assessment phase and up and the progressions phase of the new core standards that's coming to the Cherokee County school system.